真っ白な景色に今誘われて僕は行くよまだ見ぬ世界へ。
Hey everybody and welcome to your Thursday, October 25th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to actually be part Quincy. Bleach was stupid.
I'm Mike.
I'm
and
Greg.
That's Greg.
Yes, and Bleach was stupid.
Bleach was incredibly
was.
Stupid. This is like 20 pages of art with some scattered dialogue here and there.
Also, Byakuya, still not dead.
Yeah, still in the
it's
process
another
of
another final line.
And his sword starts to break apart. I'm sure he's fine.
Until he gets up just holding his hilt.
Well, isn't that one of the things that they've established, that when the sword breaks, that means that they're dead?
I think they've also established that being stabbed a lot and then dying also means you're dead. And he's so far subverted that.
Fair point.
So, if we want to actually summarize it, basically Juhabach decides he wants to kill Ichigo. Like, slashes him once, and then it's revealed that Ichigo is part Quincy.
Yep. That's basically it. Also, they explain how Ichigo got out of the cage. He just got out.
Yeah, he broke the guy's spell.
Somehow. Which, that's way less satisfying than I would have thought.
I thought that in the previous chapter, wasn't it established that some of the other people broke him out from the outside, sort of thing?
Yeah, it was, what's-his-face, Horn Guy of the Special
yeah.
Ops.
But if you could do that, why didn't they just do that?
It took time.
That. Yeah.
That's what they did.
Huh.
You know, anime.
Oh, he animated it
yeah.
to work.
Oh my
but
god.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Quincy, this makes every single arc where Ichigo turned out to be half something that he was fighting.
Didn't
How
we predict this?
Is he now?
As a joke. Well, let's see. He's human, soul reaper, visored hollow, what were the Full Ring guys called?
Full Ring.
Know. He's one of them. He's a Quincy. I think he's Mexican because he's hung out with Chad for a while.
He started menstruating because of Orihime. But I mean, like, okay, so at the beginning,
he's half Quincy because his mom is a Quincy and is going to be the big bad of this arc.
I'm going to throw it out now because I theorized it a long time ago. I think that Ishida's dad is his mother's brother, and Ishida's his cousin.
I could see that.
Just because
yeah.
they're so familiar with each other. I thought that way back when, like, before it was revealed what exactly they were.
That's entirely plausible.
I bet...
Plausibility means nothing now. We are through the looking glass.
I bet his sister is more Soul Reaper than Quincy, or his black-haired one is more Soul Reaper. And the light-haired one is more Quincy.
I don't think he remembers
that. I'm going to guess that is not going to matter.
By the way, Karen, Yuzu. Karen's the dark-haired one, Yuzu's the light-haired one.
Okay, I thought it was Suzu, so I didn't want to say anything.
No, it's Yuzu, like the fruit.
Yeah.
That's a fruit?
Yeah, it's like a lemon kind of thing. It's a fruit in Japan. It's pretty good.
So, okay.
The only, like, Asian fruit that I know offhand is durian, and because of the smell.
Durian?
No, it's durian, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
There's a bunch of people who have gone to Malaysia at the place that I work that discuss it frequently. It's a running joke anytime anybody has to go to Penang, is that they have to try durian while they're over there.
You know what's also a running joke? Bleach.
So there was one actually interesting line in this chapter, was after they think Ichigo's dead, Bach says to take him back to the castle and they'll revive him as one of their soldiers. So, I guess that explains how he has all these immortal, supposedly human people.
Well, he establishes that Ichigo is still alive. Well, he says he's still breathing, then we can resurrect him, so I guess...
They can brainwash
really say
people?
Way.
Maybe
yeah.
it is just brainwashing. Maybe I took resurrection too literally. Maybe it's just, like, we can treat him and then get him to join us.
So,
maybe whatever they do to them, they just call resurrection because they are rising as one of the chosen race, you know.
So does he know Ichigo's a Quincy and that's why he wants him to join, or is he turning Soul Reavers into Quincys?
I think he's just turning he is one of the five war whatever the hells.
Potentials.
yeah, potentials, and so he wants to get him in, on his side for that reason.
Is there a chance here that Ichigo is not actually part Quincy and something else is happening in those last pages?
Yeah, except at the top of the last page it says Blut Vene, which is he's using a Quincy ability, so...
And the blood vein things. But what
it's
I mean is, like...
a big burst of light.
Is he using it, or could something else be going on here? Like, could Ishida have shown up and used something on him?
No, you can see him swinging his sword from down there.
I'm trying to rationalize
something is
this.
Happening to his neck. I have no idea what, but something is happening.
Well, like you can't cut it with...
His blood turned to armor or something, so he can't cut through it. I don't know.
This whole thing is so stupid.
God damn it.
Like, I don't want to say...
See, it doesn't even bother me anymore. It's just Bleach. This is what it is.
We saw it coming, and that's maybe the worst part, because we saw it coming jokingly. Like, if Future Sasuke came true, none of us would be surprised, but we'd all hate it.
I would be surprised if Future Sasuke actually came true.
What, in Bleach?
Yeah.
The big crossover, I mean, X-over, because Japan event.
The big Zover.
Yes.
God, but... So, the Yamamoto stuff. Maybe a little long, ended up being cool with Yamamoto dying. Then it was, like, the drawn-out entrance of Ichigo, and I started to get a little worried. But this was just left field stupid. Oh my god.
And, I mean, this goes back to him being rushed, I think. Because Ichigo just comes out of the cage that he was in the whole time.
So, is the thing here...
he's not rushed. This is the final arc, so he's not being rushed. Obviously, what's being rushed is we haven't found out all of the three or four other halves of things that Ichigo actually is.
He's part Saiyan.
Turns out Ichigo is part Juhabak.
And on the final arc, you find out Ichigo is part human.
Dun dun.
And he's also three quarters Jewish, so you know he gets Ramadan off. So is this just that, like, Goku being a Saiyan was Kubo's favorite part of Dragon Ball, and he wanted to do that every single arc? Like, imagine if Goku was part Frieza, and then part Cell. Well, I guess he was part Cell, or Cell was him.
It was more, Cell was part him, not vice versa.
Well, it'd be like if, like, Babidi showed up and was like, hey, Goku, you actually were part magic.
Yeah, you're half Majin Buu on your mom's side.
Goku's like, oh, magic, huh?
And then he tears off his arm and turns it into candy and eats it.
Candy.
See, I feel this goes back
actually,
farther than Dragon
Goku
Ball.
Always was. That explains why he ate everything.
I think this goes back to Kubo Tite really loving Superman. And that, like, that big reveal of Superman finding out that he's part alien and dealing with that, that might be why he keeps doing this to Ichigo.
It's more like just every arc, Ichigo can use their own powers against them because he just happens to be half whatever they are.
Yeah, Goku never dealt with being Saiyan. He was just, you know, like, hey, alien, cool.
He didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
What were you going to say,
Saiyan,
Greg?
Is that something I can eat? No,
Yeah.
God, but yeah, I personally think it's less him being inspired by one event and wanting to do that every single time and more, hey, this worked the first arc. I should do it again.
But I mean, the first arc, we're talking about Soul Society, right?
Yeah, well, sorry, first, yeah, like, major arc like that, yeah.
Like, that was the conceit of the manga, that Ichigo was a human with Soul Reaper powers. And that's, like, something completely unheard of, and that's what made him so strong.
Yeah,
and then
it worked for that arc, so he's like, why don't I try
crazy.
This again?
Like, at that point, it was like, okay, no more, I don't know exactly what happened in the next arc, but from what I understand, he was also part Hollow.
Yes.
And I can kind of see that, because there's a whole thing of him struggling with the Hollow part. There was some foreshadowing for that one.
Yeah, Urahara messed up his, like, revival thing, and he was...
Well, no, he didn't mess up. It's just that Ichigo managed to defeat that, you know, to gain his powers right as he was turning into a Hollow. So the entire thing was, like, at least the direction I thought it was originally going to go was that he was the perfect one, because it happened exactly at the moment.
So... he glitched spirit powers, basically.
Yeah.
They need to patch that so that you don't...
or else users might see error where Ichigo becomes half Quincy as well.
God. So if his mom's Quincy, do we hate that? Is that stupid?
Kinda.
Yes.
I mean,
because that's such boring shonen anime crap.
I do remember the part early on when they're fighting their first Menos Grande, and Ishida's able to draw Quincy power from Ichigo's sword.
Well, no, yeah. He just draws spirit energy, period, because that's what they do anyway. It's like when he was in Soul Society and he was absorbing the buildings to attack with.
Okay, never mind.
And Ichigo's sword just happened to have a lot of spirit energy.
Yes.
Well, no, it wasn't a sword. It was just that it was a way to touch Ichigo, because Ichigo... Remember they had the entire parallel with a faucet, and he doesn't know how to turn himself completely off?
But I thought there was a whole thing where they were talking about taping Ichigo's sword to Ishida's head.
Yeah. Well, don't you guys remember? It was just Ishida touched Ichigo, and Ichigo's sword got bigger and harder.
Oh, right.
Every time Ishida touched him.
That subtext.
I don't remember that at all.
You haven't read my fan fiction.
So he's like...
So this fight's happening.
Yep.
Also, now that you think about it, Ichigo's mother kind of went down pretty easily.
Just eaten by Grand Fisher?
Yeah.
Or was she? Is she the one behind this?
Yeah, she's the big bad. Calling it now.
Oh man, that would be terrible and awesome.
It would be the most I don't give a crap about this manga anymore way to do it, period.
Oh man, if she had to expose her powers and then... Oh, yes.
Or she was testing Ichigo the entire time.
That has to
be it. And she is going to kill his dad.
Yes. She...
Man, remember when his dad was part of the manga?
She created Ichigo as a
Not really.
As a new vessel for her so that she can rule the world with the king's key.
Remember when the king was part of the manga?
Nah,
that was mentioned in one chapter.
Oh, yeah. Also, Smithers got a name this week. Hoshwald.
Did he?
Oh, yeah,
that's a very Smithers-like name.
Yes, Mr. Hoshwald.
We're gonna keep calling him Smithers.
Yeah,
that's easier to remember.
I don't feel like identifying any of the Bleach characters that have long, light hair.
Well, at this point, there's only one left
that we know of. The rest of them could have survived.
Yeah, but
the one who's left is the best one anyway. So,
Hoshwald. Hey.
Ukyaku? No, what was his name?
Shinji?
Does he have long hair now?
Genryu-sized son.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as long anymore or not.
Eh.
Shinji, hasn't done anything since he became a captain again.
He's had a bunch of reaction shots.
I know, but him and Goku, or not Goku, Ichigo were broke.
that was
Sorry,
nice.
I'm still thinking. Again, my fan fiction where Shinji and Goku team up. And the fight, I don't know.
Luffy. I'd read that.
Shinji and Ichigo were bros, and now they haven't talked since he became a captain.
Yeah, but I mean, his release was one of the more interesting ones, and I could see there being more fun with that. And
what was his?
Mirror mode.
Yeah, everything. So left, right, up, down, and front, back are reversed for the person. So they try and move one way, they move in the other.
He managed to trick Aizen with it.
Yeah.
And Bleach was dumb.
Do we just go to Beale?
Yeah, let's go to Beale. Beale was entertaining and not Bleach.
Yep, and Beale and the Age of Furuichi is doing well in the rankings. It got, I think, 5th place this week.
Hooray. People recognize quality when they see it.
Yep.
Finally.
So Furuichi meets with the Oga's subordinates?
Yeah, his lackey and his lackey's girlfriend. Girl, comma, friend.
Yes.
The pair that are the romance manga of this series.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, and it seems like Beelzebub has a lot of different manga going on in it adjacent to Oga. There's the romance couple that are best friends but don't realize that they really like each other.
They seem to be good prep school students.
Yeah. There's the typical shonen high school manga going on with Shoujo, or Tojo.
That would be an interesting shonen manga character name.
Name Shoujo?
Shoujo.
It could work.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is Tojo's going to lose his memory and then become really effeminate, and then we'll call him Shoujo Tojo.
As if we've already named Hildare last week.
Yes. Oh yeah, it was Hildare, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had to remember that because I figured we'd use it again this time.
I thought you guys explicitly said we were not going to use that.
Mike was going to explicitly forget it.
And I did, until you just mentioned it.
So yeah, Furuichi is having a...
crisis.
I guess a crisis. A self-imposed crisis over the fact that he has no one for this couple's tournament.
And he feels that it is, like, rubbing it in his face that he is alone.
Yeah, just telling all single people that they're worth nothing.
Which, you know, fair enough.
Which, then Yamamoto and his girl Kama friend grab onto Furuichi's, the ends of his scarf.
Like, both ends, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, when she was saying, we.
Well, he was trying to run away, and then they start strangling him.
And they explain that they're joining the group, our tournament as well. And that sometimes people who start off as partners in there end up as couples.
And they realize they like each other.
They romance manga it.
Yes, and he yells at them, just hurry up and start dating, morons.
Which every romance manga needs a Furuichi.
Yes.
So it cuts to the teacher's lounge, and Jack is talking with the other professors.
Satome,
yeah. He's Jack, whatever.
Sure, Jack.
And he realizes that very soon, after this semester, they're going to have to go back to their normal school.
Which means that this school is going to get destroyed, so all of the students have to go back to the other school.
That's my theory, and I like it.
Sounds good.
So the Red Tails are teasing Kuneda about not having a partner, or not...
Not having Oga. Oga.
Yeah.
Paco specifically is teasing her.
She suggests
wants to help.
Yeah. And Kuneda's like, okay, it takes some courage, but seems amenable to the idea.
Also, she seems to be more open with liking Oga now in front of them. They are particularly shocked when she doesn't deny it.
Kanzaki and Himekawa are crafting a plan to beat up and steal Santa Claus's presents.
I hope they enter
the defeat the real Santa.
Yeah,
I hope this sets them up as entering the contest together.
I bet Hiroki Imagawa puts his hair down and goes as a girl.
Well, I was thinking Kanzaki might go with Paco, because they seem to have a thing going on.
There was that for a little while. And Furuichi comes
in. But Red Tails aren't able to, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Furuichi is told by the Red Tails when he asks them to please be his partner, anybody.
Yeah, any one of them. They're all
which I think is because he wants... He heard that thing about it leading to dating afterward. So when they tell him that, you know, Red Tails can't date anybody, he calls up the founder of the Red Tails and asks her to change the rule, and she's like, fine, whatever.
I love that it's just, you know, speed dial, hello, Misaki, and then all the Red Tails
this is Furuichi
freaking out because Misaki is the name of their legendary founder.
And they had no idea that she was Oga's sister.
Just hands the phone over. Is this the founder? I'm the current fourth leader.
I love how this is building the legend of Furuichi that he just speed dials the leader of the Red Hawks.
Red Tails.
Also, yeah, also that look on his face.
Like the smug kind of smirk.
Yes.
It's such a, like, I remember telling you guys weeks and weeks ago that was going to come up again.
Yep. Good
Nobody
call.
Listened to me.
What?
Exactly. But yeah, Furuichi has now established that rule is broken. And now Kuneda sees a bit of divine intervention, finding out that Oga's sister is the leader of her former group.
Well, didn't Oga's sister also, like, encourage her to keep going after Oga?
Go for her dreams or something like that. Something insanely Japanese.
Yeah, I don't remember the details of that way back in the day.
I didn't bother to look it up. But,
I think she recognized her as a leader of the Red Tails at the time.
Yeah, and I think she encouraged her to not give up on Oga. I remember it being relationship-y.
But at that moment, Oga comes in with Hildare and points out the Christmas couple tournament and said they already entered.
Poor Kuneda.
The worst.
Hey, have you seen this thing? If we win, we can get as many presents as we want.
And Hildare looking moe as hell.
So... Kuneda walks home by herself, depressed, when she's confronted by the former president.
I feel
was
like
it,
this guy
it
is...
Was president? I thought he was, like, a teacher or something like that.
No,
he was the leader of the White Horses, whatever
yeah,
their name
was.
Yeah, no, I know he was the leader of that group, but I thought he was a teacher.
No, he's former student body president. He's a senior. He's graduating this year.
That's why he gave up his seat to the boxer guy?
Yeah, well, I don't know, Miki's the boxer. I'm not sure what that guy's deal was. But yeah, one of the other, like, White Knight dudes.
Yeah.
Horsemen, I think they were called.
Oh, yeah. The four... No, White Horsemen.
Seven White...
six, whatever. I think.
They don't matter anymore.
Some number of some colored
some
that,
animal.
That was defeated previously, and this is one of the three that we actually have seen in the past year.
So Hildare and Oga come in to give in their registration, and Oga keeps insisting that the free present is the most important part.
Yes, I like the current president saying that last year someone won a mountain bike.
Six knights.
Six knights, okay, sure.
Because Oga says that calls Nanami the Six Knights girl when her and Tojo enter.
Yeah. Knights ride on horses.
Right. And then the other two, Kuneda and Guy.
Izuma,
come in. And they all stare down at each other like it's a battle tournament, but it's actually like three-legged races and school events.
Yeah, it's just silly events that I'm sure are going to escalate quickly.
So I'm guessing Nanami is the one that turned Izuna down?
Yeah, I think they potentially had a thing.
Because I remember her being, like, really attached to him before.
Yeah, she's also, like, the school idol, so I'm sure there's a lot of guys that would be after her.
But she's Tojo's childhood friend.
Yes. And wife.
Yeah. Waifu. Because they're not actually together.
Yes.
Of course not.
Husbando.
Yes. I like how, like, into it Hildare is in the big stare down.
She doesn't actually look that into it on her face. There's just a starburst behind her.
Well, so she looks to be, like, you know, psyched up a little.
Or she needs to win for her master.
Yes.
So, we're in agreement, right? This is not a battle tournament that is going to be turned into a battle tournament.
Yeah, it's not going to start out as that, but it's going to escalate until the school is destroyed.
Oh, that would destroy it. That would make sense.
It's going to be like, balance this egg on a spoon, and then all of a sudden punches are getting thrown, and laser beams, and
as the eggs are in the air.
Yes. Flying kicks while with the egg in your mouth.
And at some point, everyone switches partners.
I'm actually expecting that to happen by the end of this thing, is just that at some point, either due to an event, they're going to end up with Oga and Aoi, Hildare and Tojo, and then the other two as a pair, and then they're going to have to do something that way or something like that.
I mean, there's like a game show aspect to it. There could be a shuffle at some point. So who does Furichi end up going with?
I'm guessing Nene.
Do you think it's going to be Nene because all the other Red Tails, like...
I don't know. For whatever reason, I always see Nene and Furuichi as that couple.
Yeah.
Just because they're like the B character, the sidekicks of Aoi and Oga.
Oga. Yeah. There's that, and also Furuichi seems to like her best.
Yeah. Well, he's most casual with her. Like, they've hung out before, like at the pool.
I wonder if she's going to use him to get closer to the first founder.
Misaki?
Yeah.
So well, she's going to start dating him so that she might be able to meet?
Yeah. Let's go to Oga's house today.
Yeah, it seems like Oga would be the quicker path to that.
Yeah, but Oga's, you know, already got his triangle going on.
But this is a really good chapter. I laughed a lot. Like, I was watching it while or reading it while we were Skyping, and you guys heard me laughing and everything.
Yeah.
I thought you were laughing.
You were able to go, oh, I think I know what page she's on.
I'm liking where this is going. This might be as good as the last arc.
We didn't think he could top the Age of Furichi, but couples battle tournament at Christmas.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Nope.
It still has lots of good Furichi.
Has good potential.
So other couples, like Kanzaki and Himekawa would be pretty good.
That would be hilarious. Like, usually I thought Himekawa's ex-fiance was coming, but I think Kanzaki is a much funnier partner.
Yeah, well, because they don't have anyone else.
I bet Beal and, what's her name? Kanzaki's niece.
Futaba.
They're just going to end up entering themselves.
But they don't go to the school. Oh, like, that would stop them from entering.
They'll just show up and start playing.
They won't actually be entered. They'll just be doing, like, mimicking the actual events.
It'd be funny if they won.
And that's how Beal got his present.
And Futaba starts attacking the Santa for being fake.
She tells the Santa that her wish is for him to kill himself.
All right, now I wish that happens. yeah, I can't think of any other couples maybe the what's her name from Behemoth comes back.
Well, the question is how the rest of the Red Tails would go.
I don't know. They might, you know, Natsume and various other side boys might get in via Red Hawk's tails. God damn it.
I can see that. Though it seems to be that these three couples are the main focus.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if there's a final three, they will be it.
Yeah.
I mean, the big question is, who's going to pair up with that group of monks?
A female group of monks.
Turns out one of the monks is female, we just didn't know.
Shaved head.
Yep. I'm trying to think who else is at the Furuichi beat or shore battle. I can't remember.
Still standing by, Behemoth is going to be Santa.
He can pull it off.
I just love how Oga's sister handles it of like, huh? What? Oh, that rule's dumb. Yeah, whatever, they can break it.
I love how Furuichi, he did the logical thing. He asked the leader of the Red Tails.
I just love how smug he is after she says yes.
I mean, that, in fairness, that's a really smart play. He just did something immediately that was incredibly obvious.
Is this the new Furuichi, like, confident and smart?
I don't know if this is that different from regular Furuichi.
Obliviously smart. He was not consciously aware that this was the correct thing to do. He's just like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, because in his mind, it's like, well, I need to change the Red Hawks to get a date. I know, I'll just ask the leader of the Red Hawks. Just don't correct me anymore. It's fine. Don't know what I'm talking about.
Just cover up that corner of your computer screen. Maybe it'll snap you out of it.
Just say Hawks if you wish hard enough.
Red stream.
All right, then. Any more thoughts or predictions?
Nope.
All right. Then on to One Piece.
Oh, yep. So great also.
There's a lot of good gags in this one.
Yep.
Starting with, was it Caribou's crew taking him off the stake?
Yeah, just like,
so he saved.
While on fire. So apparently they're winning. Which I guess makes sense because all of G5's strongest guys are somewhere else.
Doing other things.
Yeah. So the actual thing would start with Zoro versus Monet, where he's blocking her attacks off Robin.
And it's pretty much that for the entire chapter, really.
Yeah.
We stick with just them.
Yeah,
except
I
now
mean,
we find
it has the kids running away, you know, with the candy.
A bit of a flashback of when they first got there.
Yeah, Mocha remembering them before they became crazy.
And giant. And Caesar having his really creepy, my son died from this, so I don't want to see you guys.
God, he's such a...
I guess that's how he convinced them to stay, is because he told them they would kill their parents if they went back.
Well, remember, they were also convinced that they had a disease.
Yeah, an infectious disease.
And that's how they would, you know, get healed. And we get yet another flashback panel of Monet without wings.
When she was human. I mean, she turned Harpy relatively recently.
Yeah. When Law
and also,
up.
Is that a tattoo in the one frame?
Yeah,
it looks like it, yeah.
I can't help but wonder if that's just a mess up and that's somebody like thinking that they were drawing Nami or something like that and putting her tattoo on.
That looks a lot like Nami's tattoo.
Because there's other frames that are supposed to be later on that don't have that tattoo on the arm. So I'm going to just guess that was a mess up.
Yeah.
See, that actually led to a joke that I was hoping was real, but it was just me like being mistaken. That when Zoro was rushing at Nami and Chopper thought that Zoro was using them as a shield. I thought he was mistaking Nami for Monet.
That would be funny. Except I think Monet has green hair.
Does she?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell in these colors.
Yeah, it's a little black and white right now.
Well, she was on the cover. Don't you guys follow those?
No. Unless they're part of the thing, then no. But yeah, Zoro blocks her attacks and Nami uses her weather spells.
Well, you missed the joke of Chopper's hat popping on. Oh, no, wait, that hasn't happened yet. Never mind.
But basically, she really wants to kill Chopper at this point.
Well, she wants to kill Nami.
Well, she wants to kill everybody. Yeah. But she seems to be mostly going for Chopper. But she creates a giant snow monster to attack, which is relatively horrifying.
Yeah. And also, you know, the entire, you know, teleporting in and out of the snow, basically, like, shooting into the floor.
So I don't think that's a snow monster. I think that's actually Monet, like, changing her shape using snow.
But they blast its head off.
Good.
Well,
point.
She's a Logia, so her head
she's a snow lady.
And I should say Robin is like the coolest attack, because she doesn't really attack that often. She like slaps people away or flies or pushes them off.
Well, she does
like an open palm slap.
Straight out of Nami's head.
Yeah. And Nami's butt and the snow and Chopper. It's just like kind of, I like to think that it just exploded out from inside Monet.
But yeah, her head explodes.
Yes, and we also, that is where we see Chopper's hat pop off with his antlers.
Still attached. It's happened before, but I always love it. It's such a Looney Tunes joke. So, Monet is still interested in Chopper, but Zoro cuts them an exit, and they escape. So now it's just Zoro versus Monet.
Yeah.
For a few seconds until G5 runs in.
Yes,
with Sanji. And they all admire the beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Sanji
and
tells
Zoro
them
does not seem to be trying that hard against Monet.
Well, he's not even using three swords, which is always the thing of, like, the person saying, oh, I thought you were strong, and as the reader, I'm like, well, he's only using two out of three swords. I mean,
well, no, his thing is always the bandana on his head, but...
Yeah.
Well, he's also not attacking. He's just blocking her attacks.
Yeah, and it's making me wonder why.
So the reason we can have this funny interlude is that when complimented about her looks, Monet gets all demure and starts blushing.
Which I think might give Zoro a strategy if he needs one, of just complimenting her while he attacks.
Well, if Sanji had stayed around, maybe.
I'm thinking she was more doing that to distract G5 so that she could attack them, because she switched back to the Frost Demon pretty quickly.
Yeah, and she bit off that dude's shoulder. Jeez.
And then we see that Togashi has haki.
Yes, she can attack.
Yeah, everyone has haki now.
So,
well, okay, genuine question. Have we actually seen Zoro use haki, or are we just assuming it because Luffy said that they did?
When would he have used haki? I'm thinking, did he attack Caribou maybe at some point?
Didn't he have haki really early, like before Luffy?
Well, there's suspicion that he was using some stuff back then, but we didn't know what haki was.
Because, I mean, Kuma was surprised that he was able to survive that one attack.
But that wouldn't have anything to do with haki, would it?
Well, there
was because of haki that he could survive it.
There was always the thing of, like, they were using haki, they just not effectively because they weren't really aware of what they should be doing, right? Like,
yeah, they weren't trained to use haki.
Yeah, and I'm sure Mihawk trained him to use it. I mean, he's got to be able to use haki. He's also been, like, hitting her the entire time, so...
Yeah.
Well, no, he's been blocking attacks that had to be tangible if they were going to be hitting him.
That's a good point.
He hasn't actually cut Monet, is all I'm saying.
He also may not have a type of haki that's offensive, right? Isn't there like three types?
Well, no. There's three types. There's the armament, which is the what's it called? That's both attacking and defending. There's the one of the king, which knocks people out, and then there's the predicting the future, which is basically mantra from.
We've
Sky,
seen,
Sky,
we've seen Sanji use haki, right? He's hardened his foot, I think.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, in any case, Toshigi can definitely use it.
Yes.
Yeah. And she sends Sanji and G5 on their way, and she's going to stay behind and fight Monet with Zoro. Which, excellent.
Which is kind of awesome. It's something that pair has needed.
Have we ever seen Toshigi fight? I thought, like, the one time she was about to fight, Zoro just said, nuh-uh, and ran past her.
Yeah, because she looks identical to his old dead friend.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that we saw her start to fight, but she lost her glasses or something like that, so then wasn't able to.
And she's not even wearing... Like, she has her glasses on her head, but... I guess she doesn't need them now.
Maybe she'll put them on for the actual fight.
Yeah. But yeah, she sends G5 and Sanji up ahead.
I love that she's bossing Sanji around now. Like, he's just one of her men.
Yep.
Okay, and we've seen Sanji actually use the observation haki when searching for the body underwater. That's what it was.
I know Hancock's sisters also had some form of haki. Like a defensive haki.
And Zoro has not been shown using it.
But
I'm sure he has it.
He has stated to be able to use it when they were figuring out who could fight Caesar Crown.
Yeah. But I was just wondering whether that was Luffy being Luffy and saying, yeah, these guys are strong. Or... because that could add a flavor to this fight if Togashi is the only one who can hurt her.
That'd
Zoro
be interesting.
Could block the attacks, but...
But I can't think of any reason Zoro would not be able to use Haki. Like, I guess it would add an interesting twist to this, but he needs Haki to be able to fight Mihawk, and Mihawk is the end goal for him.
I mean, a point in Greg's corner is that Monet is surprised that there's a swordsman that can use Haki if she had just been fighting one that could use Haki.
But she also just, like, revealed that... well, Toshiki revealed that she can use Haki right there. Zoro hasn't shown that he can yet.
Oh, maybe.
Also true, yeah. Anyway, it's not necessarily going to be the case. I'm just saying that that's an interesting thing that we didn't see that... and that Zoro seemed to be so much on the defensive in this
chapter. I would like to see a fight where they have to work in tandem. Like, if Toshiki has to make Monet vulnerable so that Zoro can, like, finish her or something.
Can't even Usopp use Haki to some extent?
No.
I doubt it. Not Usopp.
He's a competent fighter now.
Not Usopp.
I find it strange that Toshiki can.
Well, she's hanging out with Smoker.
Yeah.
They got spare time. Gotta do something.
That whole year, 2 years, Luffy was on an island that they couldn't find.
Playing cards on their ship.
Yep.
I think I am going to predict what your cards are.
So what do you think next week? Jump to another fight?
I think next week we go back to Luffy and, what was his name? Nomotaro?
No, I think we're going to follow the kids. I think we're going to follow the people running after the kids right now.
Nami, Robin, and Chopper, and to an extent, Brook, Usopp, and Kinemon.
Yeah.
What are they looking for again?
Momonosuke.
They're trying to prevent...
Momonosuke.
And they're also trying to prevent the
kids from getting candy.
So yeah, there's more places they can go. I kind of hope they come to a head soon. Because there's most of this arc has been running at this point.
Well, so we're, you know, deep into Law and Smoker versus Virgo, Zoro and Toshiki versus Monet. So there's really only one fight left to set up.
Which is Luffy and Momonosuke versus
Caesar.
Yeah.
Oh, which I guess I can see how that goes, because Momonosuke can get him up to places where Caesar's oxygen deprivation can't reach him.
The last page of this chapter is an ad about Avril Lavigne singing the Nickelback song.
Yes, it is.
Avril Lavigne and Luffy next to each other. Oda. We talked about this all last week, so I don't want to go...
I wonder how many people's hearts we broke last week in telling that news.
So Naruto.
Oh, Naruto.
Yes. Flashback... it still starts with the flashback of Madara, Obito, Tobi trying to explain to young Pain. What was his name? Minato? No.
Pain's Nagato's friend.
What was his
name?
I don't remember.
There's too many words that have to do with it. I remember Pain and I remember Rinnegan, and I don't remember his actual name.
We'll just call him Pain, because I don't...
Young Pain. Is Nagato.
Nagato. It's just that there's the other guy who was the original head that was there was the three of them.
Yahiko. Yeah. There.
Yahiko. There you go. Yes.
Alright, so Madara was trying to convince him to join him in this crazy mission of putting an end to the chain of war. And they're like, no, you're crazy.
You're obviously evil. I mean, look at you.
Yes.
Just look at that mask.
You're telling us you're Madara,
and
which doesn't
help
your case.
What's the deal with
don't
crazy...
Don't come back here.
So obviously they join at some point. But for now, they say no.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Madara says, "One day you will come to understand T'Pain."
So I kind of wonder if Madara's or Obito did a lot of the things that drove him to becoming Pain.
I'm sure. It seems like there's always the puppet strings on him from the moment he got the Rinnegan put into him.
Yeah.
Like, real Madara seems to have decided that guy's life from that moment, that he would be the tool used to revive him.
I don't see Obito killing everyone, like, his entire family. Well, I guess there was no one left besides Yahiko at that point.
Yeah, well, I think that it wouldn't surprise me, because that was the point when the eyes were implanted in him, so Madara might have been the one who killed the family, you know, in the setup or, sort of thing.
You know, they may have already been dead.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was a war going on.
He does seem awfully confident. Like, he doesn't go crazy Pain style until the other one dies.
Well, until he loses his special friend, like everyone else.
But I'm curious if that was a result of some Toby machinations.
Yeah, I guess it could have been. Did we ever get details on how Yahiko died? Just that at some point he was killed during the war, right?
There was an invasion of their treehouse, I think.
Well, no. What wasn't he killed by the one guy who fought the three Seinen to a standstill?
Oh yeah, that guy. During
Salamander
the
dude, right?
Yeah. So I guess maybe it could have been because of Madara, but who knows? So the rest of the chapter is Toby remembering up to the night that he attacked Konoha, and he's watching Kakashi. We got this wrong before. We thought it was just a memorial, but apparently there was an actual grave for Rin, which is what Kakashi seems to always visit.
Yeah, just a regular ass grave.
Yeah, and I don't know if this means anything, but Toby went there to summon the Kyuubi.
Yeah, at Rin's grave, like, after visiting it.
Which, okay, so this is all very confusing to me, because shouldn't the Kyuubi right now be in Naruto's mother?
Yes, hypothetically.
Why is there a qualifier there?
Well, obviously it got summoned.
But how does that work?
See, has been established, the
Uchiha clan
can have control over the Kyuubi's chakra or something. I don't know.
This feels like a plot hole to me.
In any case, we get a cool stare down between Minato and Obito.
We get a little flashback first of when Obito first met Minato. Of when he was late to joining, or coming to meet the rest of the team.
Yes, we have an Inception flashback.
Yes. Most people call these frame stories, but go ahead for the geek reference.
Yo, dog, I heard you like flashbacks, so we put some flashbacks in your flashback.
Yeah. So, Obito, he does the whole Naruto thing of immediately announcing he's going to be Hokage, and Kakashi thinking he's an idiot.
Because he's an idiot.
Yep. So Obito he stands in the shadows and tells Minato Sensei that he's going to destroy the whole world because he doesn't care about it anymore. And thus begin, like, it transitions from there to Naruto saying that he's not going to let him win because he's the son of the fourth.
Yeah. Although he's talking to the actual Madara, not to Obito. But
it's also, I guess, some degree of parallel there.
Yeah.
The fake Madara versus the real... what did they call it? What was his nickname? The Yellow Flash or something?
Yes. Yeah. The Yellow Flash.
Which is the son of the Yellow Flash versus the real Madara. Who summons a giant wood dragon.
With a weird nose.
Yeah.
Wood dragon elephant.
So then, like, Guy's pretending that he's not completely out of the fight by trying to add commentary while bleeding profusely.
Bleeding from his his mouth, his nose, his forehead.
His eyes.
Just bleeding.
Just rivers of blood.
And Naruto makes the cogent point that, hey, he's already dead, why would we hold back?
And then a kind of badass panel of the Kyuubi ripping into that dragon.
Yeah. Which is the dragon that supposedly held the fourth, or the Kyuubi already.
Yeah, so has Naruto pushed the Kyuubi's powers farther than...
He's got those weird power symbols on his body, so maybe.
And then Obito and Kakashi face down.
Kakashi wants answers, and Obito's like, nope, not gonna give them to you.
Yeah, and sorry, I was looking up the Yahiko stuff just to verify, but did you guys talk about how Kakashi apparently was terrible at keeping top secret information?
When did that happen?
When he was talking, he was telling, like, extremely top secret things to Rin's grave within earshot of Obito.
Someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about...
He's talking about the fact that Naruto is, you know...
being born.
Which logically happened right that second, if I'm remembering my timelines correctly, because that was the night Naruto was born, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the night, yeah.
So Kakashi immediately found out, then ran to Rin's grave and told her?
Apparently.
Well, Kushina could have, like, gone into labor or something, and he could have been on his way there.
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, Kakashi, not that great with keeping secrets.
So anyway, Obito refers to this as the final fight. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Naruto.
Except for the one against Sasuke.
And now Naruto's on break for 2 weeks.
Oh, is it 2 weeks?
Yep. It's going to return in issue 50.
Well,
no,
crap.
Wait. Naruto's on break next week, and we return the week after. Who knows? Might be one or two.
Well, it's 2 weeks our time, but it's only going to be gone for 1 week.
Oh, well. Just when it's getting to the climax. The beckoning climax.
The climax beckons.
If you're going to have a break in this entire stretch, this is probably one of the better places to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, remember that Sasuke and Orochimaru thing?
No. What? Who?
Yeah.
Think it's going to jump back to that when we get back?
No.
Maybe?
We have to stop talking about Sasuke right now.
I'm just saying that it's been completely forgotten.
Assassination Classroom this week was pretty good. They're planning a trip.
I don't know. Sasuke wasn't in it.
So where do you guys think they're going for the trip? Oh, they're going to Kyoto.
Turns out Sasuke's there.
Man, Kuro-sensei sure packed a lot of stuff in that bag.
I did like the gag of him carrying the kendama and apparently bound copies of Jump.
There's like a Genesis controller in there.
And what's either a sponge or tofu.
Killer tofu.
Oh, yes. Thank God I was successful. Okay, so Assassination Classroom.
Yeah, they're going to... That cover image made me laugh really hard. Of him in the kimono. With the tiny octopuses on it.
Yes.
Octopi.
Octopuses.
Yes. But yeah, this is kind of typical school trip stuff, except they have to assassinate him on the trip as well.
I predicted this, right? That they were going to take a school trip because they just had exams?
Yes.
Okay. Just go me.
I didn't get the karma joke in the first couple of pages where he holds up the picture of the other two students and they're holding their IDs.
I don't know.
Like, I didn't get what that was supposed to be.
They usually are pretty good about translating this stuff pretty well.
Yeah. But
they're injured in the picture.
Yeah, they have black eyes and stuff, so he beat the crap out of them and then took pictures of their IDs so he'd know where they live, just so that they won't talk.
Were they anyone in particular?
He's just talking about how he ties up loose ends when he needs to.
Ah.
And that's how he does it.
Because Karma is the second best character in the series.
Well, they bring all the name characters together for one group.
And then add a new one.
Well, there's Karma, Baseball Guy, Nagisa, Nagisa's friend.
Girl Nagisa, and then Dorky Girl.
And then the class Madonna, Kenzaki-san. Who's apparently just so lovable and likable that nobody hates her.
Not that good looking, though.
I hate her because she's... so nice that you can't hate her.
Well, then there's the opposite of her, which is Ivana, who seems threatened by...
Well, she's mad because she's been all over the world and these trips don't faze her, and she wanted to be all impressive, and then nobody cares.
And then Kuro-sensei reveals his itinerary. For
the gigantic guidebook.
Well, yeah. There's also like 8 books in his other hand.
Well, there's one for each of them. Say, because he wants to take them everywhere in Kyoto.
Even though they only have
there's also self-defense information. And...
So there's a train, and Class E gets the shitty car.
Well, they say they're by their school or test scores, and they should they probably should have gotten better car by that rate. Because
well,
they did pretty well
in this
test. I
don't think it's necessarily just by test. Well, I guess it's just by classes. So the people who are in the best class all...
Yeah. Like, A is in first class, and they're basically in the
cargo section. Because remember, Karma chose not to go up, right?
Yeah.
Well, because he wants to assassinate Koro-sensei, why would he go up?
Yeah.
So Irina shows up in her celebrity outfit with, like, leopard print jacket.
Yeah, red carpet.
Celebrity. Giant heels, yeah. Because you need to throw somebody off with your amazing fashion sense to assassinate them. And the government guy tells her to immediately take it off and get changed.
God, Karasuma is pissed.
Like, he doesn't want to draw
wear
attention.
Such nice clothing?
Then she switches to her sweats. Her sleepwear.
A hoodie and sweatpants.
Yeah. I do like her example of, like, how to dress unfashionably. With just, like, the geek girl reading glasses, a sideways baseball cap.
A bug net.
She's, like, carrying a net.
Well, she also appears to have a cicada cage in her other hand.
Yeah, so basically a nerd.
Yes.
Also a, like, turtle shell backpacker, it appears, or
yeah.
something.
And, like, tied to the side. It's kind of hilarious. And Kuro-sensei apparently missed the train because he was buying sweets. So he's camouflaged to the side of the train so they can only see his backpack and his clothes.
Yeah, he's camouflaged. Everything else is not.
So people are still going to see that on the side.
So they
you get,
yeah, they sneak him in and humanize him.
Well, they put on his fake nose, but it keeps falling off.
So
makes
him a new fake nose,
which fits his face better.
He whittles him a new nose,
and he looks like a rather fat guy, I guess.
Yeah, it's a tiny pudgy nose.
Yeah, but it looks so much better on him and natural. And he still has his creepy, like, dead fingers.
Which, I'm increasingly convinced he's not splitting up his tentacles, just only two of the fingers actually have tentacles in them, and the other ones are just, like, flopping around.
So Kenzaki and the other two girls, one of them is Ortoku, I don't remember the other one, go to the, what do you call it?
I think they're getting snacks.
They're getting snacks from the back of the train, and some Kyoto native thugs decide to follow them back there.
Real thug-looking thugs, too.
Yeah,
scars and everything.
And they stole their school trip itinerary. So I'm guessing this isn't going to immediately come to a head now. But I bet you the Madonna Kenzaki, I bet she's crazy.
You think so?
I think the girls are going to kick their asses. I think that that'll be the point, is that
yeah.
all of this assassination training has...
I bet she alone kicks their asses.
Yeah, she seems like the demure, quiet girl, but she's going to pull a knife on him or something.
Like, she'll probably be the best one capable of assassinating Koro-sensei, and nobody knew it.
Her bedazzled knife.
That was a good gag a couple of issues ago.
Yeah, the bling on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, school trip, Kyoto, stuff's going to happen.
Yep. I'm getting surprised Assassination Classroom is so high up.
Yeah, it was first last week, if you don't count the color pages, and it had a color page this week, so that's why it was first, but I'm sure it would have been high anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and next week is going to be the 1-year anniversary for Nisekoi, so it's getting the front page.
That means we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Nisekoi. But yeah, I guess, any thoughts on this chapter?
Not really, just it was entertaining. It's a good setup for the arc.
I like the wrinkle of the delinquents. I thought it might have just been trying to kill him in a new location, but
yeah,
something's going to happen with them.
I'm guessing they're able to take care of themselves either way. Or they try, like, the thugs find out about the Koro-sensei stuff and try to get involved.
Yeah, maybe eventually becoming students.
I could see that. Though hell's a creepy. They're... Like you said, there's some very thugs.
They're thug-ass thugs.
God,
and the whole
stupid.
Stealing the itinerary and whatnot is...
So, I wasn't keeping track, but was everything great this week besides Bleach?
Yes.
Naruto was okay.
It got a lot of flashbacks, and it...
Yeah,
it entered
I mean, it wasn't
the one
great,
thing
but it
Naruto was
okay.
serviceable.
It set up the one thing I've been waiting for it to set up in a while. which was that fight between him and Minato.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying you were waiting for the, you know, switch back to Sasuke.
Oh, Sasuke. Let's talk about him some more.
I'm out of here. Screw you guys. This podcast is over.
All right. Actually, this podcast is over.
But yeah, no, it was a good week overall.
Yeah.
And except for Bleach. I mean, heck, it's always a good week when there's a new Berserk chapter, so, you know.
But next week has no Naruto, so that's going to pull the average down a bit.
And no Bleach, or no Berserk, rather. Probably for another few months, right?
Yep, there is no date on it again.
Does it even say, like, 2012, or just...
Usually it's see you next time, or something like that.
At some point between now and the heat death of the sun, I might make a new chapter.
Yeah.
That seems optimistic. All right. We'll wrap this up then. This has been your Thursday, October 25th episode of the Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Glad to be here.
And we'll see you all next week. God, Bleach was stupid.
Oh my God.
Yes, it was.
Jeez.
It just goes without saying now.
We jokingly said he would be part Quincy, but...
Yep. It was like the most ridiculous idea we could think of. Like, oh, he was part half everything before.
We were just basically like, how is Kubo gonna mess this up? Oh, I don't know. Ichigo's gonna be half Quincy or something stupid like that.
And yet.
Oh, God. I can't believe this is an ad. It's a slideshow thing, too. Who would your favorite video game characters vote for?
Oh.
All right. No. Ending it there. No.
Mario. Wait. Is vote for president. Republican Mitt Romney.
Why would he vote for Mitt Romney? He's a blue-collar worker.
I don't know. Mario has been a working-class guy from the beginning. Whether he's fighting apes at construction sites or plumbing pipes with turtles, he works hard for his gold coins and doesn't want them going to wasteful government programs.
Hanging up now.
And what? Like Romney, Mario isn't a fan of entitlement societies, especially since he built Mario's brother's plumbing and princess saving with his own two hands. However, don't let the liberal media trick you into thinking Mario is heartless. Over the years, he's helped tons of troubled toads by himself, and he does it quicker than any government program would.